time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And I'm excited about this because we do this show every single year. Teacher background, coach background, right? And so today's episode is defensively focused, going through and grading every single player that got over 170 snaps. On a, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, F scale with I's, incompletes, being injured players. And that's what we're going to go through. So, just went through, did a lot of research this morning and just, you know, where do some of these, and I'm going to make people mad because we're going to disagree. And disagreements are okay. Just because I give a player a grade doesn't mean that's the correct grade. We all had teachers in the past that you felt got a raw deal from or whatever else. So just understand, if you don't like this grade, conversations can be had. This is me based off of my film and expectations. Expectations matter in grades. As a teacher, trust me, they matter. And so some of the guys that should be A-plus students, they're going to get graded a little harsh for what they did because, you know, if you're defensive captain, one of the highest paid players on the team, and you're just gave up the team's most touchdowns, had the team's most penalties, that's going to hurt you a little bit. I think that's the way that's going to go. So I understand this is not going to make everybody happy. I understand that perhaps one of your favorite underrated players might not be my favorite underrated player, but to give credence to the grading scale, I have watched every single play from multiple angles from the entire season, and that is available over at the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. We are still working through the divisional game, which was a kick in the private parts over and over and over again. But those are all up. Every single offense, defensive, specialties play from the preseason, from the last four seasons, it's all up as soon as you sign up. It costs less than, I think it's like 15 cents a video as soon as you sign up. You sign up, you get access to everything. That's what it is. And this is a special episode. One, not because, you know, this is something we do annually, but this is show 1,600 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. So I just want to say thank you guys, ladies, kiddos, everybody listening, for giving me the opportunity to have this time to spend with you. And I'm very thankful that you guys have been along for the ride, whether you're new here or you've been around since when we were audio only days. I know we have a very, very large following on Spotify and Apple Podcast and iHeartRadio. The YouTube folks, I haven't caught like fire on YouTube and I hope I never do. But it's funny. That's my smallest audience by far. But for those of you that are here, I want to say thank you. We could not be here without our executive producers, David Gill, 49ers George, 365, Corey Robbins, Dorian Campbell. Appreciate all the help that you bring. Really, really, really do. And want to give an extra shout out to Dexter Craig, my man over on Twitter. It's always fun talking to him. And, just appreciate the conversations back and forth. So just wanted to give him a real quick shout out and say, you know, we appreciate you and all the support. So let's get started in the chat. Dale, go Patriots. I can't say that. I just read your comment. That's not how I feel. But yeah, I think everybody probably wants the Patriots to win over the other team, which I hate the other team. But I did find myself, you know, I've talked a lot about my hate rankings. I think there's been a little bit of a shift because I found myself wanting the Rams to lose more. Wanting the Rams to lose more than the Seahawks. I did. I don't know why. Logically, I can't really figure all that out. But I hate Matt Stafford. I can't stand that dude. And I don't know. I was rooting for the Rams to lose more. So my adjusted hate rankings, it used to be Cowboys 1, Seahawks 2, Rams 3. Now I think 2 and 3 has switched on my hate rankings. I think it's Cowboys still number one, which congrats to them, 30 consecutive seasons without even making it to the conference championship game. The only team in the NFC not to do so. Every other team has done so in the past 15 years, made it to the conference championship game. Cowboys, twice as long as any other team in the NFC, all 16 teams, they have doubled their absence. So Cowboys still number one on the hate rankings. I'm going Rams 2, and I'm going Seahawks 3. I don't know if I'm justified in that, but it's my hate list, so it's what it is. This is going to be a short list, John. The grades are bad. The grades are not good. Just going to be very honest. And man, shout out to Joe. We started the season together up in Seattle. You know, being able to have some good conversations and stuff. And you know, since the last show I did, shout out to number 12. RIP, man, John Brody. Before my time, but by far retired, you know, jersey number for the 49ers, one of the best to ever wear the uniform. And, you know, for the old hats, whenever we do like trivia questions and stuff at all of our Rush road trips, I always try to throw some of the older trivia, whatever. And yeah, John Brody, one of the funnest players to look into, and just everybody just has nothing positive to say, nothing but positive to say about number 12, John Brody. So RIP to him, and, you know, just reach out to the loved ones and use these as reminders. We all go through loss in our lives, and you never know until it's too late. So spend that time with people and doing what you can to reach out to those that you love. That's all I got to say. So anyway, there we go. Let's get started. I am a little behind already. There we go. Look at this. We even got the fun little thank you, Monkey Boy. 1,600 shows. That's a lot of conversations. That is a lot of conversations. Slick says 49ers need to change the defensive scheme. They give up everything. Little bit of an overreaction, but once you have a certain scheme for so long, you kind of get tired of seeing the same things, and those little dink and dunks to the outside in the flats, it's very frustrating, and it's probably a little bit more frustrating this year because of D Winters. That was so frustrating time and time and time and time again, just him being so late to get out there to his responsibility. Yeah, I don't expect much of a change. I really don't. Don't expect a lot of defensive change. Monkey Boy says, my team hate order, Cowboys, Rams, Raiders, family reasons. I respect that. It's funny because I was raised in Texas, right? So my Cowboys hate's rooted in that. But I always hated the Raiders with a passion. I always considered the Raiders like I couldn't stand them. But then I moved to the Bay Area, and there's not a lot of Raiders. Hey, I know I live in East Bay, but even amongst 49ers fans in the Bay Area don't hate the Raiders as much as 49ers fans outside of California. It's weird. I don't know. Maybe I need to write a dissertation on why that is. I still haven't put my pulse on it. But yeah, howdy. The Rams have a deeper history with the Niners. That is true. My history is more recent with the Seahawks. And, you know, Navarro Bowman was my favorite player for a long time. And throwing popcorn on that dude getting carted off. Yeah, I hated it. Joe says, yeah, 145 miles from Lumen Field. Can almost smell the Seahawks. They don't smell good. But, yeah, they're probably going to be the Super Bowl favorites. Probably going to win it. We'll see it. But we'll deal with that whenever it is. This is a 40-hour show. I ain't breaking down the damn Super Bowl. I ain't going to be that guy. And I know a lot of people are doing that. It's not a bad thing. That's not why I'm here. I don't have a boss. I guess you guys are my boss. I care about the 49ers. So we're going to talk about the 49ers. So you want Super Bowl breakdowns? You know, I got invited to do like Radio Row, you know, because the Super Bowl is here in Santa Clara, not San Francisco. But I was like, man, you know what? No, I don't want to spend time with all these other people. And like, I just want to talk Niners and do it my way, which is what I do every day. This is show 1600. I don't want to change what I'm doing now. And it would have been cool to interview some other players and whatever else. But I was like, man, I don't think that that's the best use of my time and audience. So I chose not to. Got invited to a handful of parties, which you guys know I like parties. But I was like, nah, I don't want to be a part of that. I just don't. Look at Lou. I watched Brody at Kezar in the mid-60s with my dad. That is beautiful, man. That is beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. right here. It's one, Bobo. I just want to say, you are loved, man. I'm sorry you had to go through that. He said he lost both his parents in 2019, big brother in high school, just like I lost half my family. But talking 49ers football is an escape from reality for me sometimes. I get a lot of these. I struggled going from teaching coaching to this. It was very difficult for me because I went from being around people and, you know, being basically a social worker. That's kind of how I saw it. Teaching and coaching was the avenue in which I wanted to help the community and kids. That's what I wanted to do. And COVID ruined whatever that was and really messed me up pretty good. Just I hated teaching after that point. So then I moved to this, but I struggled. And I was like, man, am I just being selfish? Like, this is something that's quote unquote trivial. Am I making an impact to my community? And I kind of found out, man, like, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what your job is. If you do things with intentionality and try to build community and try to reach out and try to help others, that's where those things come. And so, Bobo, I appreciate your vulnerability. I appreciate you talking and the people I've met, the relationships I've been able to build and even help people go through some rough situations through this. Yeah, Bobo, I appreciate you saying that. And that's why we continue to do what we do. Love you guys. You guys are the best. Rigo, thanks for the super sticker. You are the best. You are the freaking best. All right, here we go. Hey, I got to scroll down because I'm just going to be Oh, here we go. Rigo, here's after your super sticker. John, I really miss your podcast all week. Don't leave us alone in our grief. There's so much to talk about with the Niners. There is. And I was kind of a good dad this week, which I don't say often. You know, got the kiddo, got him to pass his driver's test, which was cool. Helped him get his first car, which he's been saving up for. And, you know, trying to get all that stuff set up. And we're trying to get him ready. It's his last semester of school. And so we're getting all that taken care of. So was kind of a good dad this week. Needed to step back. But now I'm back. And so we're ready to go. And, man, I got a breakdown up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. Go check that out. So apologies. I tried to get a couple shows out last week. But we're going to be here all off season. We're going to be here all offseason. So let's get to our grades. Just for defense, it's a defense-only show. We'll do an offense-only show. Let's start with the eyes. In the grading room, that's an incomplete, meaning the player didn't, or the student didn't show up enough or didn't get the work in enough or whatever. I, for the 49ers, means injured. And there's really only four. Like, the defensive injuries were not... You didn't have a lot of season-ending injuries, really just four, but they were gigantic. Fred Warner played six games. Nick Bosa played three games. Mikael Williams, your first-round pick, played nine games. Nick Martin, your third-round pick, who was really slow to start, played seven games, most of that on special teams. Was like kind of a healthy scratch for the first part. Really could have used a lot of what he could have brought later, but... You didn't get to see it with that concussion, which is just awful. You know, we had Nick Martin on the show right after he got drafted and the passion, the whatever. And it was always going to be kind of a long-term play. And I remember, you know, the instant draft reaction a lot of times is just off. And people are like, oh, Nick Martin's going to be the starting will from the jump. And I'm just like, I don't think so. I was like, I think it's going to take him a while. This dude didn't play last year. This is a, you know, you've got guys that have been in the room for a long time. I was like, maybe at Sam, but I still think Luke Gifford's going to start there. And people told me I was crazy. It turns out dude was a healthy scratch for a lot of the first part of the season. But injured players, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Mikael Williams, Nick Martin, that's three guaranteed starters. That's one Hall of Famer, the captain of your defense, your best pass rusher, and the highest paid player on your team, Nick Bosa. It's hard to lose that. And yeah, there were other injuries, but not season long, right? So the eyes, that's where that is, okay? So you got four incomplete or injury grades, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Mikael Williams, Nick Martin, and that affected everybody else. That affected everybody else. It really, really did. Because those were your stalwarts. Yeah, you have your two best players, maybe on the team, and Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. And then you have your first-round draft pick, which was promising, Mikael Williams. Like, not a great nine games. Not a bad nine games. He was brought in to help shore up and stop the run. He did that. He checked that box. Like, if you just grade the games that these guys played, Fred Warner, A+. Like, he was defensive player of the year, leading candidate. Nick Bosa, how many sacks? Yeah, I want to go back to this because I want to make sure I get this right. Let's see here. Nick Bosa had 3 sacks. No, 2 sacks. He had 4 tackle for losses, 3 quarterback hits, and 2.5 games. Awesome. Like, A grade, probably not A+. A grade. He was great. Mikael Williams, if you look at kind of his stats, didn't have a sack. He did not get a sack. And so that's an issue, but did his job. I'd say a solid B. It would have been, if you're just grading Mikael Williams on his 9 games played, I have no problem giving him a B. Like, was that a home run first round pick? No. Was it a miss? No. The injury, that sucks, but not a miss. And so for the people that are always like, oh, 49ers suck in the first round and we're going to spend that time, you know, whatever else. You got to remember, Mikael Williams, how old is this dude? He's young as hell, man. Here we go. He played 9 games. He's 21. So you've got this dude with elite athleticism, elite build, all those things that is going to be this dominant, you know, 4-down defensive end. It's just, man, whenever Bosa went down, kind of hampered, teams could focus on him a little more. And that was the issue. So, if I had to grade Mikael Williams, I'd say a B. And if I had to grade Nick Martin, I'm going to say probably an F because he couldn't even make it to the field before he was injured. So that's what that is. So the regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for 2 to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least 1 live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Fred Warner, A+. Nick Bosa, A. Mikael Williams, B. Nick Martin, F. If I had to grade the incomplete players. Now let's get to the F grades. We're going to work bottom up. These are our failures. These are players that were bad, that I thought were terrible. Luke Gifford, lowest grade defensively. Pro Bowler, special teams player, defensively, F. It's just so bad. The worst defensive player that you had out there. Always knows where to be, just can't make a play. Always where he's supposed to be in the run game, can't make a play. Never where he's supposed to be in the pass. He's where he's supposed to be, but just not a good coverage guy. Can't make plays on the ball, too slow. I hope they sign Luke Gifford to a multi-year deal. Just, man, let him be your third string Sam linebacker, and that's it. Put him on special teams, everything, and awesome. But yeah, Luke Gifford, F. And I only gave out 2 Fs. Only gave out 2. Jair Brown, I gave it F. And I think people will disagree with me on that. Jair Brown, he played a lot of snaps. He played every single game. Well, he played 18 games, right? So, like, he started every single game of the regular season is what I'm saying. But you look at the missed tackles, had 12 missed tackles, 15% of his plays missed tackles. But the problem was a lot of Jair Brown's missed tackles aren't registered because he couldn't even put his hands on them. So they don't qualify as missed tackles. He just runs himself out of the play so many times. And he had – I wanted to bump him up to a D – because he did have 1 or 2 good games, right? The interceptions, making plays on the ball, but the amount of just touchdowns, he gave up the most touchdowns on the team, 6 touchdowns allowed, did have 2 picks, 2 pass breakups, had a 99.1 passer rating when targeted, lots of coverage busts, lots of just missed tackles, lots of just running himself at the 3rd and 17 game, right? Y'all remember that play? That, like, and I think I've told this story before, so I apologize. I want to repeat myself here again, but, you know, I walk on the treadmills with weighted vest in the mornings, and I either put on, like, beach landscape, I love the beach, or I put on, like, highlights, and if I'm pissed off at the 49ers, then I don't watch highlights, or game tape or whatever as I walk, and I started, like, I've watched the 49ers tape so much, I started watching other teams' highlights against the 49ers, and every time I do it, every other play is against 27, every other play. Like, he is the mainstay of opposing teams' highlights consistently. And number 27 does not fit the scheme. He's too soft. Now, 1 to 2 plays a game, he plays aggressive. And whenever he doesn't have to make a read on a play, he can be physical. But he's so scared of contact, doesn't like to tackle, forms horrible, gives up the most touchdowns of any player on our team, according to PFF. And PFF is flawed, but he's just bad. I don't know. Number 27, and I don't know what the Niners saw in him, and it took way too long. It took an injury to go back to Marquis Siegel, which Marquis Siegel wasn't good. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Marquis Siegel was good, but Marquis Siegel could do something. I'm not sure what Jair Brown did that was good to warrant keeping that job. And he's the second number 27 we've had. You remember Dante Johnson, the Barnacle, whatever else. Like, I was always so frustrated with him because I don't like drawing negativity constantly to the same player. That's why I go to the numbers, because I don't want to say their name all the time, put negativity out there. And so Dante Johnson was being played out of position as the outside corner late in his career. And it was like, dude, this dude doesn't have the speed or athleticism to play this position. And he just got toasted over and over again. So I was like, all right, we're going to call him 27. And I always kept saying, like, I hope Dante Johnson becomes a coach because he's so awesome. And his attitude and teammate and the vibes and all that stuff, he just doesn't need to play outside corner. You're asking this guy to do something he can't do. I feel the same way about this 27, Jair Brown. He's got to go to a different scheme. You can't play in a physical scheme when you're scared to hit. You just can't do that. He does not fit the scheme. Now, who's the new defensive coordinator? Maybe you go to a scheme where, you know, you don't have to tackle, which I don't know how you're going to do that. Take that for whatever you will. Anyway, John, don't you remember all the people saying we didn't need Huff because we had Brown? He is awesome. No need to resign. Man, you know, and I put this out there on Twitter. Like, you saw number 57, number 93, and number 9 now for the Denver Broncos. I'm talking DJ Jones, Greenlaw, and Talanoa Hufanga. Like, dude, you have one of those guys, two of those guys, or three of those guys. Holy freaking cow for the 49ers. And a lot of people, like, Talanoa Hufanga is a very clear litmus test for if people watch tape and understand football. Talanoa Hufanga makes mistakes. He does. And I'm not saying he doesn't. But the amount of positives that that guy makes is off the freaking charts. If the 49ers would have had Talanoa Hufanga this year, holy cow, would have changed. Like, you would have been the one seed, period. And people are like, well, Dre Greenlaw still missed time. Yeah, he did. But did you watch him play in that game? He was unbelievable. Now, it was snow and they had to run and whatever else. 5'7" is a beast. 5'7" is a beast. But yeah, people are like, oh, actually, Hufunga's not very good. I don't know who the hell says that. Like, dude just made all pro again. Again. Like, and people are like, yeah, he's not that good. You do not, like, I'm sorry. Thank you, Dale. Huff is freaking awesome. Like, he was so fun. Like, I didn't care who won that game. I bet, and we covered 3 for 3 on our bets, which was cool. But yeah, like, the whole, like, dude, if you don't think Hufanga's a good football player, I'm very sorry, but, like, I can't help you. Like, I just can't respect your football opinion. And a lot of people, Niners fans, and a lot of people that, you know, I'm close to, like, as far as, like, Twitter or whatever goes, as close as you be anybody on that, we have discussion about football. They're like, yeah, Hufanga's just not. And I'm just like, dude, you do not watch football. Like, there's no effing way that you could say Hufanga is not good. That dude is awesome. And then say 27 is good. You're an idiot. Like, you've got to fix something. Like, something is wrong upstairs. If you think Hufanga's bad, but Jair Brown is good, you need to turn this show off and I don't know. I don't know how to fix what is broken inside of you. And you know, and here's the thing, Dale. So thank you. When Brown came in for Huff, he was awesome. Why was he awesome? Who was your defensive coordinator? Steve Wilks was. Who is the DB whisperer? And I know a lot of people here don't like Steve Wilks, and he had his major issues. Every single defensive back we had their best season ever when Steve Wilks was our coach. You have not had adequate defensive back play since he left. You haven't. You have not. You haven't. And so Steve Wilks is kind of like the weird difference in all of that is 49ers defensive coordinators. He's the one that doesn't fit. But the one thing that dude has done his entire career is coach the hell out of safeties. And Jair Brown was awesome. And they thought they could replicate that. Well, couldn't do it with, you know, Pet Rock Sorensen. Couldn't do it with Robert Saleh. So, yeah, well said, Dale. And so, like, that's not a, like, oh, yeah, Steve Wilks is awesome. He's not. Steve Wilks is one of the best safety coaches in the history of the NFL, period. You look at that dude's resume and the amount of all-pro safeties he has coached and developed. Hate Steve Wilks all you want. You had good safety play from anybody that played. And then it got dog shit after that whenever he left. Sorensen was awful. And now Robert Saleh wasn't good either with him. That's what it is. So only two F grades, Jair Brown, Luke Gifford. That's it. So we've got the negativity out of the way. Let's jump to the D grades now right after this. Maybe if I hit the right button. Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to mybookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs. Make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie. All right. Now, I see this bubble says, I'm surprised Jake Brindle. This is just defense. So I have not done my offensive grades yet. This is this whole entire episode, defensive players only. We will do the other side. Yeah, right here. Steve Wilks made Embry-Thomas look good. That is true. That is true. So my D grades, let's start at the bottom and work our way up. I didn't do D plus, D minus. I did with every other. There's just Ds. And in no particular order, these players are all in the same category, not necessarily ranked. Like Curtis Robinson, I gave a D defensively. Curtis Robinson, special teams, gets an A. I think he was the second best special teams player we had next to Luke Gifford all season. But defensively, it was very clear he played up past where his talent was. That's why you went and got Eric Kendricks, Garrett Wallow. Like, you never were supposed to start your fourth or fifth Mike linebacker, but it's just what it is. And so, like, this is not so much an indictment on Curtis Robinson, but he is who we thought he was, which is an amazing teammate, amazing community member, Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, stud special teamer. Just some guys, just that's their role. But whenever you have all five of your original linebackers on your initial 53-man roster injured, some guys got to come up and play. And Curtis Robinson got several first starts of his career, but limited two opponents to under 10 points whenever he was out there. But it was so clear, like, he's just playing above his pay grade. So D for Curtis Robinson, not trying to be rude, not trying to take shots. Dude just was asked to do more than he should have done. Just what it is. Jason Pinnock, I struggled with this one. I bounced Jason Pinnock up and down from C minus to D. I kept him in the D category because the amount of big plays that he gave up. Now, I think the first part of the season probably would have been an F, climbed up to a D, up to maybe in the C category. But kind of, I just, there were just so many plays where he gave up so many huge plays. Four touchdowns allowed, and he played 500 snaps. And I really wanted the 49ers just to say, hey, Upton Stout's him. We're not doing big nickel, little nickel. We're just doing nickel. But the development of Upton Stout, you can attribute to Jason Pinnock taking a lot of the dirty work and a lot of the snaps away from Upton to just, hey, you got simplicity. You come in these situations, you do this, that's it. We're not going to overload kind of what you have available. So played in 17 games. He was healthy. Gave up four touchdowns. Had eight missed tackles. 16% missed tackle rate. Didn't really contribute a lot as far as like solo stops or whatever else. So if you wanted to bump Jason Pinnock up, I have no problem with that. He's a D for me. Itur Gross Matos. This is a guy I struggle with. And you guys listen to the show, you completely understand. The worst tackler on the team, he has the worst tackling grade. Now, only four missed tackles, but like, dude contributes nothing in the run game. Now, here's the nuanced take of Itur Gross Matos. He could rush the passer from the inside. He could do that. He can't do anything else. He is the definition one-trick pony. He is the worst in the run game. This dude had four solo run stops. That's it. The entire season. The entire season. He only played in eight games. Ball bouncing off his face mask. Both hands. Can't get it. Can't keep outside contained. Can't tackle. He can push the pocket from the inside, and that is it. Effort. Worst effort. Worst body language. They made a mistake. Should have kept Leonard Floyd. And people were like, yeah, Leonard Floyd's bad against the run. Have you seen Itur Gross Matos? You want to know how many games Leonard Floyd played? All of them. All of them. All of them. Can Itur Gross Matos rush from the inside better than Leonard Floyd? Yes. He's not better than Leonard Floyd at anything besides that one point. And so, you know, he played 210 snaps. That's it. Like, you can only use him sometimes. And he's never available all the time. Can't practice more than once a week. Like, I am so out on Itur Gross Matos. I really, really am. And now this is the type of guy that can go to the Eagles and probably get 3 to 4 sacks. Whatever. But guess how many sacks he had for us? Goose egg. That's the only job. It's the only time. I'm sorry, man. Like, the 49ers missed on this. They said younger, cheaper. Itur Gross Matos was more expensive than Leonard Floyd was, and he's younger, but dude's not out there. That was a mistake. That was an absolute mistake. So I gave a D to Itur. I wanted to put him at an F, but he did get pressures. He did get pressures. But like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, I was really disappointed in the return that you got for Itur Gross Matos. And whatever. All right. This one's the one that's going to, people are going to disagree with me with. D Winners. If you want to bump him up to a C, I have no problem with that. I gave a D grade to D Winners. Now, he played in all 17 regular season games. Had the most missed tackles on the team. Three players were tied most missed tackles. I want to make sure I get this right. You had Malik Mustafa, D Winners, Tatum Bethune. D Winners played the most snaps of all those guys. So, like, if you want to put that in there, my problem with D Winners is film. And I said this on the show with Larry the other day, Larry Kruger. I coached linebackers. I played linebacker. I was a defensive coordinator, eventually head coach, but like, linebackers was my favorite position to coach. Linebackers is my favorite film to watch. That's what makes it so hard to watch D Winners and all the coaching tape. It's because he's just got dirty eyes. Even Ant with 49ers Cutback talked about the same thing. Like, it's an issue. And so just the processing, he's got all the athleticism in the world. But Silent, dirty eyes D from Howdy, I agree. Silent says, headless chicken award goes, dude just runs around. the most undisciplined linebacker play that I've seen in a very long time. Backside linebacker play can't do it. He's so fast, he overruns things. Never where he's supposed to be. A lot of the home run plays the 49ers defense gave up were because of D. Winters. I don't know. And I've gotten emails and DMs and people upset at me by my takes on D. Winters, and that's okay. They're my takes. Disagreements are a good thing. If you think D. Winters is a foundational building block for the future, that's okay. We can disagree. We don't have to come to a middle ground. We don't have to hate each other either. Imagine that, disagreeing with somebody and not being upset. It's okay. This is just my take. I don't think he's good. I think that he needs to learn. But he has all the athleticism in the body, and like he could be right. He just can't process it. And so my pet peeve with players is low football awareness. And I know somebody's like, dude, did you see that pick six against Phillip Rivers? I was there. I was at the game. I was going buck wild in the freaking stands. It was awesome. But that one play doesn't make up. He played 1,038 snaps. Durability was great. Speed's great. Effort's great. But, man, it's just hard to have a linebacker that can't see and isn't disciplined. And, yeah, his best games were when Fred were next to him, obviously. You play next to a Hall of Famer, things are going to be good. Yeah. So that's my D. And the last D player I have, again, another one that people will disagree with me here, Bryce Huff. Zero sacks in the last nine games. His top five games were all in the first 7 weeks. Dude just fell off a cliff. And you could argue, like, oh, well, he wasn't that good without Bosa. He was good without Bosa. He wasn't good without Nick Bosa and without Mikael Williams. That's whenever it went bad. And so, like, you just got to understand, this is a complimentary piece. That's just a little bit extra. But, like, dude was just taking up snaps out there. Really bad in the run game. Could not keep outside contained, gave up outside, you know, quarterbacks just escaping outside and whatever. Like, the dude just got really, really bad and stayed bad for 2+ months. He got really bad. And so, like, you just have to, like, okay, what is he? He's going to be your fifth defensive end that should only play 15 snaps a game. Well, the 49ers were forced to play this dude. He played 584 snaps, was available every single game. He led the team in pressures by a lot, 46 pressures. Did he lead the team in total sacks? I want to make sure I get this right. He tied with Cleveland Farrell with 4. Like, Cleveland Farrell didn't play that much, man. Cleveland Farrell played half the season for the 49ers, called off the streets. Like, 4 sacks ain't nothing to write home about. You know what I mean? Like, so I gave Bryce Huff a D. I don't know. His tape was just consistently bad. A situational pass rusher. You can't be a situational pass rusher and not get pressures late in the season. 9 games? I'm not saying all of the games they didn't have a sack were bad. But at some point, you got to do something good. Yeah, right here, Bryce Huff needed Bosa and Williams around. I agree. No more players from Philly. You're not an every down player. Be a some down player. There are no downs where he was good for 2 months. And yeah, we had plenty of third downs. Why couldn't he play good on third downs? And it wasn't like he was an every down player, even late. The dude played so... Where's he at? He played 584 snaps on 17 games. All right, let me get my calculator out here. I got my phone over here. I don't want to use my computer. Making me do maths over here. What's wrong with y'all? Here we go. So we're dividing. What is 584? Play 29 snaps a game. Okay, you want him to play 20 or 15. Like, you still got to have some good snaps. Logan, I'm willing to give him a pass. And I think, yeah, it needs to be situational. Everybody kind of disagrees. Huff never meant to play that many snaps. He's not built like that. It was the injuries. Everybody else give him a pass, and that's okay. He's a rotational piece, but he didn't rotate well. He was gassed. Dude, you play 29 snaps a game. I don't know. I don't know. I kind of disagree on that one. I kind of disagree with that one. But anyway, those are my D players. Bryce Huff, D Winners, Tier Gross Models, Jason Pinnock, Curtis Robinson. Y'all disagree with me, and that's okay. Disagreements are good. A couple super chats real quick. Silent, appreciate you, man. Can they realistically get through number one X at a fixed? Yeah, you got to get a true number one. Yeah, I agree with you. So Silent saying, can they get a number one X? You can. You got to pay. It's not on the roster. It's not Jordan Watkins. Even if I want Jordan Watkins to pan out, dude, no. Like, you cannot move forward thinking Jordan Watkins is going to fix your number one X wide receiver. Ricky Pearsall is not an X. He's a Z. You got that spot locked down, kind of. Whatever. Zero catches in a playoff game, 40-plus snaps. That's, anyway, I'm going to do so many Ricky Pearsall rants. I am so pissed at how that turned out, but whatever. It's not finished. Hopefully that changes. He's shown he can do it. Just stay healthy. Show up in important games. We'll see. Anyway, you got to get X wide receiver. That helps the run game, helps everything. So you either got to pay for it in free agency. You got to draft it in the first or second round because Shanahan will not let a wide receiver not draft in the first or second round play ever, 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 ever. So I don't know. Or trade for it. I would say trade for it or sign. I want a veteran that can come in and play. It would change everything. I agree with you, Silent. How are they going to get it? I don't know. You paid Brandon Ayuk. He's a bitch. Don't know what to say. Sin, appreciate the super chat. Thinking of Seattle, I don't think I could stand another 10 years of them dominating the Niners. Who needs to make serious changes ASAP across the board? Yeah, I hate Seattle. Number three on my hate rankings now. But man, and, you know, I just did the offensive breakdown from the divisional game this morning, and golly, Brock Purdy was awesome. Like, Brock Purdy, I'm not worried about Brock Purdy. I'm not worried about the offensive scheme at all. You just, Jake Tonsis was your number one, and he went out at half. You have no wide receivers to rely on. Juwan Jennings did nothing the entire game. Ricky Pearsall did nothing the entire game. Demarcus Robinson did nothing the entire game. Kendrick Bourne did nothing the entire game. Like, you had no wide receivers at all. Like, John Chapman was out there running post routes. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, it ain't going to work. You got to get speed. You got to get skill position players. Brock Purdy would have been fine. You just got to get somebody out there. You got to get somebody out there. And yeah, I would go get Alec Pierce and I would pay him 20. I don't even like saying, I don't like paying wide receivers. Alec Pierce would change this offense, and he's not even like a top 5X, but like, you got to pay wide receivers because every single team needs them. I take Rashid Shaheed. He could play X. He's not a true X, but he can. You saw him beat press man coverage and press the field vertically. He doesn't run the full route tree. More of a gadget guy who could play X, not a true X, but he does stretch it vertically. So I'd be cool with that. You got to figure something like that. Rob, you are funny. You are funny. All right, let's get to our C grades. This is the largest conglomerate of grades that we gave out. And I think even if you look at like PFF, right, like the overall grading, you have just players in the 60s, right? You start at 60 before you take one snap. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You have 10 players that fell in the 60s range from a PFS standpoint. So let's start with our C-minus guys. Really only have one. It's Kalia Davis. And, like, I don't mind, like, putting him at a C. I don't mind putting him a C+. I just think the consistency bounced him down because you had these two starting defensive tackles that were just boom or bust. They were either terrible or they were awesome on a play. Never consistent. And I don't like inconsistency. So, like, this is where, again, I'm putting my bias out there. I have Kalia Davis, who played every single game this year, and he'll be back next year. He's a restricted free agent, so you'll be able to keep him. Should not start. He's not better than CJ West, wasn't this year. Not better than Alfred Collins, wasn't this year. But they didn't want to mix up the rotation, so they just stayed with it. I gave Kalia Davis a C-. Cleveland Farrell, I gave a C. A lot of bad tape, only played 8 games, did lead the team in sacks despite that, but man, just a lot of really, really negative plays, losing outside edge in the run game, not rushing, pass rush integrity, getting quarterbacks outside, but dude showed up when nobody else would and was the best pass rusher we had late, but he still wasn't good. I give Cleveland a C. If you want to bump that up, cool. Jordan Elliott, I give a C. 16 games played. Some really bad effort on a lot of things. The rookies pushed him. Not consistent. One of the worst against the double teams that we had. 49ers see duo more than anybody, and he struggled with it all year. One of the guys I'm kind of excited to see go elsewhere. Let the young pup step up and get somebody that is a situational pass rusher from the inside as a true defensive tackle. Jordan Elliott, I gave a C. Marcus Siegel, I gave a C. He wasn't good. Understand that. But at least he did something right. Dude's the best tackler we got on the team. Now, I'm going to say that again. Marcus Siegel, the best tackler we had on the team. Now, did give up a rushing touchdown and got kind of, you know, ran through in that divisional round. Everybody did. But he closed. He's always where he needs to be in the passing game. Except for that one time he got benched. Then you brought in Marquis Siegel, did the same thing four times, never got benched. Whatever. But he's where he needs to be. It just doesn't make plays on the ball yet. The speed is there. The aggressiveness is there. The communication is there. The character is there. Marquis Siegel. And again, I give rookies a little bit of a bump versus Jair Brown, who's a third-year player, a little bit different. So I am curious, what would y'all grade Marquis Siegel? Because I want to know if I'm off on this, and I'm fully open to accepting that I am wrong on this. I gave him a C grade. So like, yeah, I don't know if we're on the same wavelength there. Nate says, yeah, I'm with you, John. Okay, cool. Yeah, right here. I'm still at the May. Yeah, this at the Logan. I'm still amazed at the way Siegel tackled Saquon Bart. You do not win that game if Marquis Siegel doesn't come in. If you kept 27 out there, you don't beat the Eagles. I truly do believe that. Strawberry agree with C plus on Siegel. Good. Good, good, good. I like that. C. Okay, cool. Nice. Agree always where he needs to be. He's just got to make plays. He wasn't good. But like you see the potential. And fifth round rookie. Yeah, so incomplete grade on Siegel, maybe a C. Siegel made some good tackles. Siegel, yeah, okay, cool. And he'll get better. Yeah, Siegel. I don't understand how anybody watched any of this season and thought 27 was better. And I love Robert Saleh. That's a mistake, man. That is a mistake. Yeah, keep moving forward. I mean, you're going to add players. I think you need to add safeties. Now, you'll still have Mustafa, Siegel, and Jair Brown on the roster. So you still got to, you got to add somebody. You got to have a coverage guy. You got to, and we'll see the DC they bring in. We'll have better answers to that. Renardo Green, I gave a C. And the main reason why I gave him a C, he play is a B. He should have been a B player, but man, Shanahan hates him. And man, his football IQ is so low. And I remember saying this, I think it was 6 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. I was talking about how low his football IQ is, and he just plays dumb. And people got mad at me. But then you see Shanahan yelling at it. How many times did Shanahan yell and bench Renardo Green? Shanahan's an offensive coach. Why is Shanahan yelling and cussing at defensive players? Because Renardo Green just makes dumbass decisions. Bites on double moves. The penalties, you know, taunting, whatever. Like, he just makes dumb moves. Doesn't know what to do. A lot of busted coverages. But the play is good. He's a good football player. It's just the tape says he gets lost a lot. He gets lost a lot. So, I don't know, man. Yeah, let's see here. People are getting mad at me. Are they going to start go for Schwartz as DC? I don't know if they're going to get that opportunity. So, like, this is a little bit of a pause segment here. I want Schwartz to be the defensive coordinator. Every single player or coach is pulling their name out of the Browns. They should be relegated to the Big 12. That is a joke franchise, joke ownership, joke GM, joke quarterback situation, joke. It's the Browns are going to suck for 2 decades. Nobody wants to go there. Schwartz is the only guy in-house that understands how dysfunctional that is. He's the lead candidate for a head coaching job. So if he doesn't get that job, I hope, pray that the 49ers go heavy after Schwartz. But I don't think you're going to get him. Logan Chapman, why do you think Renardo Green isn't playing smart? He was great his rookie year. He just doesn't. If he sees something, he bites. Double moves, slant goes, start stops. He has, the flood concept kills him. In a cover three, you're the deep drop. You cannot get beat deep outside the numbers in a cover three. That is so simple. Halves. Usually we don't do halves that much, but sometimes we do quarters to his side. Okay, you can't get beat outside the numbers. Like, it's simple. That dude jumps underneath every single time. Like, he is just see it, grab it. He's not disciplined. Just not. And he was bad the year before, too. But, yeah, Terradome, our Green ain't got it. He's just not good in zone. Just give him, man. You got to make it simple on him. I don't know, man. I don't know. Deion Sanders probably going to coach the Browns. Oh, that'd be hilarious. That'd be the biggest cluster of all time. Malik Mustafa, I gave a C. Tied the team with, 16 missed tackles. End of the tape at the end of the season was bad. His best tape was early. I feel like the tape got worse. Safety play is just not good with the 49ers for 2 years in a row. And Malik is promising, but a big reason why I docked his play is because he is promising. He's supposed to be one of the guys. He's supposed to be one of the stalwarts. He's supposed to be. I didn't see it that much this year. Last year's tape was better. I love Malik Mustafa. Got to do more. I have two C-plus players. Tatum Bethune, you want to bump him up to B? No problem with that. Played 14 games. Again, tied the team lead with 16 missed tackles. Can't cover for a damn. That's kind of my problem. But I think he's a promising player that you could use as a Sam backer long term. Special teams player, not good at special teams, but this defensive grades. I don't mind if you want to put Tatum Bethune B-, right? B. But I've got him C+. It probably be the one grade that everybody's going to disagree with me on. My last C player, C+. I gave Diamador Lenore a C+. And I want y'all to tell me if I'm right or wrong here. Gave up 5 touchdowns this year. 10 penalties. And it was more than that because 4 penalties got declined throughout the season. So I had 14 penalties. Average penalty a game. Had 2 interceptions, 3 pass breakups. But, whenever everybody went down, this dude started blaming other players. Coverage bust, he pointing at other players. He's trying to blame 27. I didn't see captain behavior. I didn't see captain moxie. I didn't see captain play. Diamador Lenore is probably the best secondary player we have by a mile. And with the players that finished the season, he's the best defensive player we have. But, there was not a lot that made me think, I'm thankful we have him. He's a value deal. But, man, just, from a coaching captain perspective, do you take that captain badge off of him? I don't know if you do that. But, where's the leadership at? Yeah, Demo, solid D. Demo was disappointed. Lenore's a B player. He needs to play better. I think he's an A player. I think last year was A tape. I would have gave him an A last year. This year, C+. And people are going to say, there's no pass rush. You're going to talk shit nonstop. You got to go play. He's the BA of the defense. I don't know. Demo did not get a lot of help this year, the past season. Dude got, I do agree. He did not get help. And we don't get any pass rush. Yep, that's true as well. They took the C patch off of Bosa for 1 year. Just saying, yeah, that's when he held out. That is true. I don't know. I gave Demo a C+, and I bounced him around several times. But give it up 5 touchdowns, 10 penalties, should have been 14. How horrible he was in outside run contain. The biggest runs of the year were because of number 27 and number 2. 27 and 2 and 53. But he's the best player we got, and I want him around. I just don't think it was his best year. I think it was a down year, personally. Now, if you're going to any concerts, football games, whatever else, you know what you got to use.
Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season,
Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right, let's get to our B grades. I'm going to start. I only have one B minus player, Darrell Luter Jr. And again, where you are kind of like start the season affects your grade. Darrell Luter Jr. had the worst camp of any player that wearing a 49ers uniform, like cut worthy. Dude stepped out and played consistently well whenever he was out there. He played 275 snaps, eight games, had the second highest run grade of any Niners defender to play this season. Gave up two touchdowns, had one pass breakup. Like, he wasn't great, but he did his job. And I was really impressed. Like, he was a contributing player. This is somebody like you can build around. Special teams was decent. We're not great in special teams, but I didn't think there was ever a time where Darrell Luter Jr. came in and he was worse than Renardo Green. So B minus wasn't great, but at least could stop the run incredibly well. And like wasn't bad. And like, this was somebody that was so bad at training camp and preseason, like cuttable. So I got to eat some crow here. I really got to do that right here. Notorious JV. Got to be honest. Kruger called Luter Jr. to be a good player. Props where it's due. 100%. I like Kruger. Yeah. Like, he's right. He was right. Kruger and I don't agree on a lot, but like, it's kind of cool because he spends his time watching. He's there all the time. He nailed it. Yeah. Oh man, Luter just makes me think of giving up a touchdown. He gave up two. Shoot, not near as much as Renardo Green or Demo or Jair Brown or. But yeah. Anyway, B minus what I give. I gave Keon White a B, and maybe it should have been a B plus. Like, Keon White played 11 games after the trade, 384 snaps, 24 pressures, had three sacks, kind of did his thing. Not a lot of missed tackles, but just the tape, Keon White showed up positive and consistent more often than any other defensive end, and it wasn't even close. Besides one. I mean, we haven't got to him yet. But Keon White, would love for them to retain him. I feel like if Keon White was the fourth or fifth defensive end, you've got a good rotation. He had to be the number two defensive end for us. Shouldn't be the number two. And yeah, Keon White is better than Gross Matos at everything. Everything, including pressures. Am I fair to say that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Etur Gross Matos played 10 games with 16 pressures. Keon White played 11 games, if you count the playoffs, with 24 pressures and had three sets. Yeah, Keon White was better. Super underrated. I liked him. Just consistent tape. Not bad tape. Like, there was never a time where I'm like, oh, 56, you can't do that. There were like one or two plays where it's like, okay, that's not great, but not bad. And that's the biggest problem with the 49ers defense this year. You're getting bad tape from Kalia Davis. You're getting bad tape from Jordan Elliott. You're getting bad tape from Bryce Huff. You're getting bad tape from Cleveland Farrell. You're getting bad tape from Tatum Bethune. You're getting bad tape from D. Winters. You're getting bad tape from D'Amador Lenore. You're getting bad tape from Malik. Bad tape from 27. Bad tape from Jason Pinnock. Bad tape from Renard. Like, that's a lot of bad tape. Consistent guys. A lot. Keon White was not one. He was not. Consistent player. Consistent. You got him for pennies on the dollar. He swapped picks. He was awesome. Like, I would not be upset if they kept him. I'd be very happy. And so, like, that's the thing. Like, I gave him a B. Maybe I should have gave him better. Yeah, Chuck says that's way too many. You had so many inconsistent players. And a lot of that had to do with Yeah, the injuries, but we went through the injuries. There are only four guys that were really injured for the majority of the season. Three of them were key pieces, Bosa, Warner, and Mikael Williams. But, like, you didn't go spin for veteran backups. And so you had to play all these guys. You had to. You had no choice. All right. Last two B grades, Alfred Collins, I gave a B plus. And, you know, I wanted to put him in the A minus category, but I didn't think that he finished the season as well as I had hoped. Like, first part of the season, Alfred Collins struggled, right? Coming back from that injury and just getting in shape, whatever else. Around week three or four, here, let me open this just so I can speak with better. Right after that first month of the season, like really after the first 3 weeks, Seattle was bad, Saints was bad, Arizona was bad, first three games. Then he goes out there against Jacksonville, and something just changed. And so from weeks four to week 12, you could argue was the best defensive lineman we had. Obviously, the Rams game, which was freaking awesome. Tampa Bay, he was great. Like, just making plays at big-time moments. You know what I mean? Like, goal line, fourth down, third and short, whatever else. And, yeah, he hit the rookie wall because I do feel like a lot of the tape against Philly and Seattle the last game wasn't great. It really wasn't. So you kind of have this, like, parabolic curve. Am I saying that right? Where it was bad at the start, got really good. You're hoping it's going to continue, and it didn't, and it went down. But dude made plays, period. Led the team in forced fumbles, led the team in fumbles recovered, the best hustle player on the team. You got George Kittle talking about multiple press conferences, 95 at, like, challenging. He's a perfect character guy, perfect love of football guy, perfect scheme fit guy, perfect all those things. He's just got to get better and take that next step. And my biggest problem with Alfred Collins is he loses early, wins late. Once he learns how to win early, that's where it's going to be. That's where it's going to be. So pretty excited about him. Yeah, Chris Collins would be great if he gets in the weight room conditioning. Dude, he's got the best effort of anybody on the team. He's the biggest dude on the team. And I don't think conditioning is a problem. He played more snaps than anybody else in the defensive tackle room. Is that true? Let's see here. Yeah, Alfred Collins played 550 snaps. Khalil Davis, 542. Jordan Elliott, 517. C.J. West, 334. So, like, yeah, that dude, he played in every damn game. Played in every game. And consistently. Is he a great pass rusher? No. But, man, he makes the linebacker's job easy. Yeah, I'm not getting sick. I'm not used to doing hour shows. I had to take a break, man. Season wears on me, bro. It just is. And so, talking for an hour plus, because this isn't my voice. Yeah, I'm not disguising my voice, but this is my teacher projection voice. I can't do a show where I have conversation volume. I can't do it. I couldn't do it when I was a teacher or a coach. I just can't do it. And so, whatever, you're not used to talking at this volume and, you know, whatever, it gets me. It's what it is. Yeah, I'm good. Just sometimes get choked up. It's not because I'm emotional. It's just because I'm it's because I'm weak. It's weakness. Let's see here. We got a couple super chat. I don't know. Let's finish our B plus grades. Sorry. One more B plus grade. I put CJ West at a B plus. Didn't play as much, you know, 200 less snaps than Alfred Collins. But the difference was CJ West was the steady incline that never stopped. Never stopped. Just kept getting better and better and better and consistent and consistent and consistent. He's got higher pass rush upside than Alfred Collins. And so I freaking love those two guys. Those are your two starters, period. Now, you want to get a pass rusher from the defensive tackle room? That's cool. Work them in there. But Khalil Davis should not start. Jordan Elliott should not re-sign. CJ West, Alfred Collins, those are your two guys. Both those were hits. Second, fourth round. Like, just awesome. Yeah, the fire hydrant has such a great ceiling. He really does. CJ West kept improving, peaking at the right time. Yes. I agree completely. I really, really do. So those are my B-plus grades. I'm very excited about them. A couple super chats. The Gills meme, thank you so much. Is it unfair to call out John Lynch's drafting? Seattle and L.A. have great depth. We're here talking about busts like 27, few hits, but more misses. Seattle, yeah, in their past 2 years, holy cow. And everybody always loves Sid, the Rams. Rams had a horrible draft class this year. It's terrible. 49ers drafted way better than the Rams did this year. Way better. Rams missed all over the place this year. Now, last year, not so much. Year before, not so much. And so there's ebbs and flows. I don't think that the past two draft classes were bad for the 49ers at all. I really, really don't. Now, are there any home runs? No. I don't see a home run. Maybe Upton Stout's the home run. That might be the best player of the past two drafts. But yeah, Seattle, they're on an insane tear. And like I saw some, you know, whatever. John Snyder is the first general manager ever to make it to the Super Bowl twice with the same team without one player being on the team from the previous Super Bowl. Like, you just got to admire what he's built. Like, so comparing John Lynch to that, not cool. Like, John Lynch ain't that. And one, John Lynch don't make the decisions anyway. Yeah, I understand he's the general manager, but he does not make those decisions. Whereas John Snyder hired the head coach there. John Lynch was hired by the head coach here. So very, very different. But yeah, have you drafted as well as those two teams? You have not. Is that the measuring stick? You got to win your division first. You were a couple plays away from doing that. So, I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, the 49ers have not had a bad draft. Last year, this year's draft were not bad. They were not bad. Were they amazing? Were they A-plus drafts? No, but they were not bad. This year's draft wasn't bad. It really wasn't. Dale, John, next time you should create a must-keep, might-keep, can't-keep. God, we don't need to sign him with. I will as we get closer to free agency. But you know, this is something that I've done every single year. And so you don't mess with tradition. And so, yeah, we're going to have time to do a lot of that. And I do like that, Dale. I do like that. Very, very good. All right, let's get to our A grades. I got two A grades right here. Me, Mikey. He says Sam O made himself some money this year. Sam O is my A grade. The only player that got an A grade. And I wanted to give him an A plus, but I couldn't quite do it. He is incredible. And you know, what's crazy is he's a restricted free agent. He ain't going nowhere. So yeah, like the tender, cause the 49ers are going to have to tender him. Do they do a second, you know, third round, whatever, all that kind of stuff. We'll have to see how that goes. Samo's only made $2.4 million in his career. He was an undrafted free agent in 2022 by the Titans. They kept him for 2 years just on the practice squad. And then the 49ers sniped him. Sam O was incredible. You look at, clicked off the wrong thing here. Sam Okwuonu played every single game. 642 snaps, the most of any defensive lineman for the 49ers. He had to step in and play the Bosa role once Bosa went down. Congratulations, undrafted free agent transplant. It is now time to be Nick Bosa. You're Nick Bosa now. Have fun. All he did was step out there and consistently play. Like, is he a game breaker? No. Is he a game changer? No. Does he put up negative plays? Nope. You ain't finding a negative play. Yeah, you might find a couple. I mean, shoot, the dude played 642 snaps, most of anybody on the defensive line. It goes out there, 31 pressures, 3 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, 6 missed tackles on 27 solo stops. 27 solo stops. That is off the freaking charts. Had a forced fumble. Dropped into coverage on 13 plays. Big O Sam O out there. Like, Sam O is awesome. He is your perfect number 3 4-down defensive end. That's what he is. And that's what he should be. And that's what he will be when Mikal Williams and Nick Bosa return. And so you've got your every down defensive ends and Mikal Williams, Nick Bosa. You got your situational pass rusher and Bryce Huff if you choose to keep him. I'm not so sure. And then you've got your backup bull rush defensive end to come in and spell your guys. Like, I know everybody in the mock draft and everything else is like, defensive end, you need edge, you need edge, you need edge. I'm not so sure. Yeah, you need more edge players, but I don't think that it's at the top of the list, because I look at Nick Bosa, Mikal Williams, Sam O, Bryce Huff. That's not bad. It's really not a bad group. Do you need more? Yes. Do you need pass rushers? Yes. But man, your bull for, you know, down defensive ends, you got that. Sam O was awesome all year, man. And the tape, like, that's the thing. If you watch the tape, you don't see bad plays. Not a game changer, not a starter. He started for us. Started for us almost every damn game. How many games did he start? Let's see here. Started 12 games this year. Are you kidding me? 12 games. Good gosh, man. I freaking love Sam O. He's so great. Notorious GAV. Sam O was the hero we needed. Yes, he was. Sam O has bad tape, dog. It's insane. Oh, there we go. Sorry, Logan. Sam O never has bad tape, dog. It's insane. It is. It's so fun to watch because he gets it. He gets it. He just does. Sammy O, solid rotation. That's what he should be. That's what he should be. But yeah, on the open market, Sam O's getting $6-7 million a year. Sam O, the Swiss Army knife, super impressive. Love it. What's up, man? Aloha, faithful. Sam O is Mr. Reliable. Yes. I want more Sam O conversation. He deserves it. He deserves it. What Sam Okwuanu did, God, he was awesome, man. So good. So freaking good. Oh, what's up, Shane? How we doing, man? We need a damn speed rusher. Besides, and Huff isn't even a speed rusher. He's a bend rusher, right? Like, he's not fast. Dude didn't even run the 40 at his pro day. Like, he's so slow. Like, it's his first step and then his bend. He's not, like, it's funny because Bryce gets classified as a speed rusher. That's not how he wins. He wins with technique, first step, which is fast, and bend. But dude didn't win anything the last 9 games. Didn't win anything. Sam O, shut your mouth. I freaking love Sam O, man. I freaking love Sam O. Sam O is going to be signed for more money elsewhere. Well, you got him for another year. He's restricted because he was bouncing around practice squad, not elevated enough. He didn't accrue seasons. So he's been in the league long enough, but he didn't accrue seasons. So the 49ers get him on the cheap one more year. After that, then he will go sign elsewhere, probably, which I wish wasn't the case. But the Niners get him on a cheap deal, kind of like what they did with Jordan Mason, Juwan Jennings, go down the line, whatever. They can get him cheap. So you've got him for a little while. Silent, appreciate you, man. Wrong to think a number one cornerback and a number one wide receiver will fix most issues. You ain't wrong. And I don't mind seeing Diamador Lenore as a number one corner. I think he's good enough to be seen that. But, man, like, I think you need two more corners. I do. I think you need two more. That would be freaking awesome if you could get it. Don't expect them to spend a first-round pick on it. But wide receiver, yeah, you've got to have multiple wide receivers. I think you need three wide receivers. Noam, appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super chat. John, my man, still high from partying. My first live game with the Rush team in New York. Hope to come to New York next year, party with the faithful again. Dude, really appreciate you, man. Very, very kind. Dude, we had a good time, Noam. It came all the way out from Israel, which was so cool. And the conversations with you were incredible and how friendly you were. It was fun doing shots together. Me and Noam were talking like, hey, and they were doing the shot ski at the tailgate. And he was like, what are we doing a shot of? I was like, I don't know. It didn't matter. We just had a good time. It's what it was. But appreciate you, Noam. Hope to see you again, my friend. Now, the last grade. Here we go. The only A-plus rookie, Upton Stout. Dude was freaking awesome, man. Played all 18 games, 662 snaps. They had 11 pressures. Upton Stout, he had more pressures than Kalia Davis, had more pressures than Nick Bosa, Robert Bill Jr., like, he had pressures. Like, that is incredible. 11. What could this dude not do? Like, he does everything that you want. All of it. Now, missed tackles. Okay. Small guys, that's going to be an issue. And almost all of them were against quarterbacks. Like, that's what's funny. Upton Stout could tackle running backs very, very well. I think he had 4 missed tackles against Spencer Rattler, like week 2 or 3, whatever that was in New Orleans. Like, it was weird. He can't tackle quarterbacks very well, but open field tackler, great form, all that stuff. 27 solo stops. Smallest dude on the field, don't tell him. A-plus grade, man. Like, if you want to hang your hat on future, Upton Stout is him. Upton Stout is a freaking stud. Gave up 1 touchdown, had 6 pass breakups. Now, penalties are an issue. He had 8 penalties. Now, we teach terrible technique from the defensive back room. We just teach them grab and hold, and you hold for 15 yards. Like, I hate that. I do not like our DB room. I don't like our DB coaches. I like our DB coaches. Work on technique sometimes. Please. You don't have to hold past 10 yards. You really don't. Yeah, he was awesome. No interceptions, but dude was just freaking awesome all year. The highest ceiling, the defensive MVP. Get him out there more. I really wish they would have made some adjustments and just said, look, Upton Stout is him. We're staying in nickel. We've got 7 linebackers injured. We don't need Jason Pinnock. We really, really don't. So, yeah, my A-plus, Upton Stout, only 2 A grades, Upton Stout, Sam O. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on that one. Stout, he's the A-plus. It's Stout we trust. Yeah, he's the guy. Yeah, he blitzes a lot. Shark 2.0, that's right. Shit. Yeah, they do the Shark Blitz, baby. That was under Robert Saleh, and they just keep it going, man. I absolutely love it. Love that, man. Let's see here. Checking some more of these comments, but yeah. So, like, if you're one of those people that's just like, man, this sucks, the 49ers, Seahawks, blah, I get that. No, you're not alone. Frustration is real. You need something to focus on. Focus on Upton Stout, Sam O, CJ West, Alfred Collins. Those guys, defensively, that's huge. That's a lot of positives. Youth. A lot of youth with a lot of upside. You mix those 4 with Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Mikael Williams, Diamandour Lenore, Malik, get back to where you were, Marquis Siegel. Come on, man. Now you're cooking with some grease, right? So, like, there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of foundational pieces. Thank you, Howdy. They're in place. And dude, whenever you get down, I don't even know if this is up there. Maybe I got to build this, but NFL always docks me every time I do. Maybe I need to make like an Upton Stout highlight reel, but if I post it on YouTube, they'll take it down and flag me again. I think I finally got out of YouTube jail. Anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. I don't care about that, but I wish there was a way for me to like create the Upton Stout highlights the way that y'all deserve to see them. But, maybe I'll do it on Patreon. Yeah, I think I will, because that's worth it. So that's going to be priority 1 for me this offseason once I get through all of the Seahawks tape and get that up. But, yeah, I mean, getting flagged I don't care about, but they take away a lot of my money. They took away a lot of my money. And then they're like, start sending me things like, we'll take your channel down. You do this one. And so, like, you're on probation for, like, 6 months and blah, 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 blah. So, anyway, yeah, I'm going to do that appropriately. And we'll put that out, and we'll make it work one way or another. They can't stop us. Probably shouldn't say that on YouTube, but yeah, they can stop us. But anyway, you guys are awesome. I hope that you enjoyed this show. 1,600 shows. Do we have 1,600 more? I would be honored if that is in the cards, and I'm very thankful. You guys are incredible, and just thank you so much for allowing me to do this. And for the support, for watching and commenting and participating and all those things. Yeah, we'll just keep going. So the next show that we'll do is I'll get the offensive grades done, and we'll go through that piece by piece. put a little bow tie on the season, and then we'll start looking forward a little bit more. But we got to look back first. The assessment process needs to happen. That's what that is, and we'll keep going. And then I got a ski trip this weekend. For those of you who have been listening a long time, like, this is the ski trip I do with the coaches. This is year 15, which is awesome. We're going to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So I fly out Thursday, so there's not going to be a coach approach show this weekend. But then next weekend, it's draft time, baby. It is draft time. It is diving into tape. It is all those things. And so there we go. That's what we got. You guys are incredible. Thank you so much. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.